You are listening to The Bobcast, a golfing podcast, brought to you by The Open Times. Welcome to our Bobcast, which is the first in a series of podcasts all about Bob McIntyre, an open golfer who seems to do quite well for himself. I'm Stephen Day. I know very little about golf and not sure what bat to use for each bit of the game, but fortunately, I have two experts sitting beside me. Keith McIntyre, no relation to Bob, a golfer and keen follower who knows a lot about the game and what's going on with Bob. And George Graham, another open golfer in his spare time, but not playing in quite the same tournaments as Bob at the moment. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hi. Yes, I quite like the fact that you said we were experts on the game, Stevie. Yeah. I don't think that's quite accurate, but...
I think you're more expert than me doing this.
Describing me as a golfer's not accurate. Never mind the experts.
Well, listen, I don't know an awful lot about Bob. I've seen him in the news and so on. For people like me, could you just explain, Keith, who is Bob? What's going on with Bob?
Well... Bob first came to my notice when I moved to Oban to work here and met George the Hacker, who's sitting next to me. And George told me about this wonderful golfer they had at Glen Cruachan, who I think at the time was certainly in the top 10 amateurs in the world and was playing off a ridiculously low handicap. And like most things with George, I just thought he was taking the mickey. And then I very briefly saw Bob on the course hitting a golf ball and realised George was telling the truth. And Bob's now on his turn pro, I think, 2 years ago.
December 2017.
There you go. And played on the Challenge Tour, and in his first year he qualified to go on the main tour, which in itself was a massive achievement, huge achievement in his first year on the Challenge Tour. And George and I were talking at the time and saying, if he can just make a few cuts and manage to retain his tour card. And that's what he did successfully at the start of the season. But now he's just blown us all away. He's now up to 73 in the world. 73rd
in the world.
He's playing in all the top tournaments. He's just going to be a superstar. You know, he's going to be hopefully finishing the top 50 of the world this year, which gets him access to playing in the Masters. All, you know, from a young boy from Oban, he's going to be at the top of the golfing world. A genuine golfing superstar, it looks like, at the moment.
George, you both play on the Oban course, but George, I'll direct this to you. Oban course, do you think it's done him a lot of favours?
Surprisingly, Bob is a long hitter, and that's surprising because Glen Cruachan doesn't have any par fives. And because of that, a lot of people believe that it's maybe quite an easy pitch and putt type of course. But Keith has played Glen Cruachan with me, and I think he'll attest to the fact that there's not a shot that Bob will play that he's not played in Glen Cruachan. It's a very difficult course to play.
It's not a golf course, it's a test of endurance. That's all Glen Cruachan. It's the most difficult golf course I've ever played in my life.
I've lost enough balls there to testify that it is a very difficult golf course. And I think Bob, growing up, I know that years ago I became aware of a group of boys up there, maybe about eight of them, all of them very good golfers, but the standout one was Bob. But they were playing the course, you know, all through summer holidays, out in the course every day. Every time you went up there, they were either out in the course or sitting in the clubhouse with Coke and crisps. And it became obvious over a few years that Bob was actually going to be a very good player. But I don't think anybody, any has expected him to be the player that he's turned into so quickly. I mean, he turned pro in 2017. Bob was about 1,000th in the world this time last year, and now he's 73rd in the world, which is just unbelievable when you think of some of the names that are in that, in world golf. Some of the names that he's ahead of at this time, it's just quite unbelievable.
So it'd be safe to say that there's a possibility that you have played with him inadvertently whilst on the golf course. He will have been playing other holes while you were hacking away, as Keith put it.
I think he maybe passed me when I was knee high in the grass and high in the rough.
He probably dug you out of a bunker at some point.
I mean, well, strangely enough, I've seen Bob, I've seen him a lot of times out in the course, and not a lot in the last year since he started becoming fairly successful. But strangely, I've been watching some of the boys, and some of his mates have actually been playing better than him out in Glencruton. But I'm sure that's just him letting them in.
Okay, so where are we with him just now? What is he actually doing, well, more or less at this moment? What's he done in the last couple of weeks?
Well, the last couple, I mean, I think if you start from, if you go back to July, where he really announced himself on the world stage was at the Open, in the last round at the Open, where, you know, players were dropping like flies, conditions were really tough. And Bob, I think, because we all know Oban's probably not got the best of weather, is, was quite used to playing in tough conditions and got himself a sixth place finish in the Open, the most famous golf tournament in the world. And then he's just kicked on from there. He has had two second places this year on the European Tour. He qualified for the, there are four tournaments that make up the World Golf Championship, which is really for the, you know, the absolute creme de la creme of world golf. And he managed to get himself into the World Golf Championship in Shanghai 2 weeks ago. And finished, I think he finished 17th or something like that. He got a top 20 finish in that. And I don't want to get too technical with you here, Stevie, but, you know, there is a thing called the Race to Dubai, which is in the European Tour, which is essentially just a big league table of all the results throughout the year. And if you finish in the top 60 in the Race to Dubai, you get to play in what's called the final series of the last three tournaments, one of which was last weekend in Turkey, the Turkish Airlines Open. And Bob just had a brilliant tournament. He was pretty agonisingly short of the playoff. He missed out by two shots. But he shot the low round of the week, a 63 on the Friday, I think, George, it was on the Friday. He was very unlucky. There was probably one shot cost him a chance to get into the playoff where he dumped his ball in the water in the fourth, unfortunately, and it cost him a bogey six where all his rivals were getting fours and threes, so that really cost him it. But the very fact we're talking about being disappointed that he finished a couple of shots off the playoffs shows you how far he's come. We'd have settled for him making a cut every week. So that was a great finish. He goes into, he's playing South Africa at the weekend in the Nedbank Challenge. I think the prize money is $7 million. And then the final tournament of the season is a week after in Dubai, where I think the prize pot is $8 million or $8.5 million. But if he manages to get himself into the top five in the Race to Dubai, so basically the top five of the league table, he will also share a pot of $5 million to the top five. He's currently sitting 14th, but a good finish in either of those tournaments could easily rocket him into the top five, and more importantly, would get him into the top 50 in the world, and that just opens up the entire world to him. He'll be playing in the Masters, he'll be playing in the US Open, the USPGA, as well as our Open, and that's when he's really amongst the superstars of the game. He'll be playing every week with the top players. So
it's quite remarkable that this has all happened within, say, a couple of years, because I know that when he was in the qualifying tour and also when he started in the European Tour, he did struggle a bit being away from home. He's a real homeboy. I think that's been well documented, and he's now got a lot of experience under his belt. He can only go from strength to strength, but I think what he's achieved in his first year is almost unbelievable. And so his second year, there can't be just too much expectation on him. I think that he has to be allowed to sort of just grow a wee bit more experience, and when he's going to be a superstar, I think something drastic would need to happen, like him getting a bird or something like that for him to...
he spends too much time in planes
for that not to happen, Betty.
You have a word with dad the next time you see him.
Okay, well, that's great. I mean, I've learnt a lot about golf, and also the fact that the Race to Dubai doesn't involve rally cars, so I'll have to go and visit Google and find out more about that. I think we've covered most things. Would you like to come back in a couple of weeks' time and we'll see how he got on and
see if he's in the world's top 50, which would be quite something. Delighted to.
We'll try and have a wee bit more rehearsal and facts at our fingertips. Yeah.
I'll dig up some interesting golf facts, and you can maybe dispute them. And
you'll always hold a special place in my heart because I did have money on him at the Open at 200-1. So I won quite a lot of money on Bob at the Open. So even if it all goes wrong from now on, he's still a great guy.
Okay. Okay, George, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Bobcast, a podcast brought to you by The Open Times. Join in our conversation on our Facebook page or Twitter, or look at our website, www.opentimes.co.uk.